This is take five, side one of an interview with Mr. Court Kupferberg done on July 29th, 1981. You were describing your brother-in-law's reaction and your sister's reaction to you coming to their home.
It's just only natural. We didn't know each other over 6 years, but the first time again.
Had they been in their home all
they
this time?
They were all the time in their home.
How did they escape?
Because in Germany, when the head of the house is an Aryan and he has a Jewish wife, he can, he saves his, her life because he was the head of the house.
She did not convert?
No. They're married in, not in a church or not in a synagogue, on civil marriage.
Yes.
And everybody has his own religion. But I didn't feel very, very good there by my sister in the house. First, they had nothing to eat. There were still the ration cards. The war was over, but they still had those ration cards. And only what she could give me to eat was a little bit potatoes and a little bit water soup. Like again, I felt like I'm again in the concentration camp. She had nothing to eat either. She made a little bit soup out of flour with a little bit sugar. That's what we eat at dinner. Yeah. She has ration cards for meat, but there were no meat in those stores, in those butcher stores. On the first Friday night, I came around on Tuesday, June the 12th, I think it was. Came back to Berlin. On the first Friday night, I was thinking, I'm going to look if I find more Jewish people. I went to the nearest synagogue. Certainly, I know before she was, that the Nazis burned all the synagogues in 1938 in November. So I came to the synagogue and the rest, the American bombs did the rest. So I was standing there and said to myself, where should I go now? Should I go home, back to my sister's apartment, or shall I go further looking for other Jewish people? My sister couldn't tell me. She was living like in isolation. She has no friends there under the other people. So,
was she accepted, do you think, by the other Germans, the non-Jewish Germans who
I don't
they
know.
Were living with?
I don't know. The only thing I know, she was alive. She was thin and her face was small. They had not much to eat in the wartime. But she was alive, that's all. So I want to go away, back to the synagogue. I want to go away and then I heard from far away Friday night those Jewish songs in, like you hear in a shul. Those Friday night those songs. And I went after the sound, and I came in the back from the synagogue, was a big place, a free place, and there was a little chapel in the back. And there was the singing came from there. I opened up the door, and there was a little chapel, around 30 people maybe were there, 10 or 12 women, and the rest men. Old man, and the Hasen was singing. And I was very happy. I find another Jews, and I looked the people over, and I looked across. The man was sitting on one side, and the woman of the other side. This was an Orthodox place. And I looked at my wife. I looked at her. And I asked the man next to me, if he knows this girl over there. And he said, yes, I know her. You want me to meet her? You want me to ask her
interview.
And after the service, we went out, and he introduced me to this girl, and we talked. I didn't talk much because I was ashamed of myself. I had no teeth and the upper teeth went out. You know, I think I told you this in my story, that the Nazis, they had to take out my teeth because they were loose. I could. And no hair off my head, you know. Then every 2 weeks we got our hair taken off, you know. Yeah, it's prisoners. And I wasn't nice dressed, the old suit on. And here silver is my number here on the chest of the suit, civil suit. And the name, not the number, no, not the number, Buchenwald. I had here a sign on it. And we talked a little bit, and I brought her home where she was living. And I said goodbye to her. And the next Friday night, we saw each other again. And so we met each other and became friends. And that's it. And then we married.
You married in Berlin?
In Berlin, for an American chaplain.
When did you get married?
We got married in Purim 1946. American chaplain married us. All those, full uniform. Shubov. He was, then his name was Shubov. He was living in Boston, but he was stationed in Berlin, in American section from Berlin. Then when I came back to Berlin from concentration camp, Berlin was conquered from the Russian army. The whole city of Berlin was conquered from the Russian army. And after a couple months, the Allied powers put tied the city off in four parts. One was a Russian section, an American section, an English section, and a French section. And I was living suddenly in the English section from Berlin, English part of Berlin. And we married, and our daughter got born in December.
She was born in Berlin.
Yeah, in Berlin. Berlin, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We got a nice apartment without windows, but only cardboard on the windows. And was es, Bruder? What is, when you think of it, huh?
Why do you say nice?
This apartment was not bad.
Nice,
a nice bedroom and a kitchen.
Was only one room in the kitchen.
And a kitchen and a toilet.
Were you able to work?
Looks,
were you able to work?
No. Yes. What?
You built my car.
Yeah, this I tell you, yeah. After we married, my wife talked to her cousin. The cousin was the president from the Jewish Gemeinde in Berlin. And he gave me a job as a clerk. Ne? The right word, clerk?
In the Gemeinde, yeah. And your daughter was born when?
In December.
In December my daughter was born. And when my wife wants to go to buy a little bit milk for the baby, those Nazi women start to holler at her in the milk store. Da kommen die Juden, die Jewish Belgier heißt es, a word for like for animal, like. Kommen die Jewish Belgier und trinken uns das letzte little bit milk away. So we, both of us, we said we can't live here anymore. The same Nazism comes out again. After a year, you know, this start to go wieder on top the Nazis again. And the English soldiers were very nice to them.
So which section of Berlin were you living in? under whose control? The English?
English army, yeah.
Yes.
English section. Before that was all Russian. And the Nazis were all disappeared. They hit themselves. In cellars or that somewhere outside in the country. And we said, no, we can't live here anymore. This is derselbe Nazi, derselbe Risches wieder again. And we said we gonna go somewhere. So we were talking between us. Nach Amerika we couldn't go. Nach the United States we couldn't go because the English section, you couldn't go out of the English section. If you were living in American section, you could go to the United States. As a displaced person. What? Yeah. After a certain time, the English section was open for immigration to the United States, opened up for immigration. So we could go to the United States in 1947.
Now, you have shown me a prayer book.
Yeah.
That you received.
After the liberation, first came the war troops, you know, but they had nothing to do, only fighting. And afterwards came a different kind of American soldiers. They take over the camp. We had visitors from the United States, people with those big hats, those Texan hats came, and we looked at them. And General Eisenhower were visiting the camps, and members from Congress came to visit the camp, and they showed him everything. And we got chaplains, American chaplains came in uniform, Jewish chaplain and the Christian chaplains, and the Jewish chaplain naturally came to us Jews, talking to us and so, and then he put out a whole list from all those survivors, Jewish survivors from Buchenwald. And my name was under this list. And he sent this list to the United States, and the list came in all the Jewish papers in the United States. And my sister here in the United States saw on those lists that I am alive, that I am, what? Yeah, and then she wrote here to us. And then the chaplain gave every Jew, he gave so a little tzedor in Hebrew and in English translation. And still to today I have this little tzedor.
And the tzedor is engraved or is dedicated to you.
No. This is my handwriting.
Oh, this is your handwriting.
This is my handwriting. Zur Erinnerung an den Tag der Befreiung. Of English, zur Remembrance on the day of the liberation, Weimar Buchenwald. 11th day, April 45. I wrote this in here.
I see.
Yeah.
This was the first time, you say, that religion was reintroduced
to us. But I tell you the truth, I couldn't believe in God anymore. But my eyes saw. I couldn't believe that a God in heaven can see this and do nothing. So, but my wife, she gave me back the believe in God again after we met.
Have you suffered much from the physical distress that you had during the war since your liberation?
Yeah, when I came to the United States, my wounds broke open.
On your feet?
On my feet. You know, I chowed you this wound
yes.
back. What? What's this? Sores. Wounds. Ich sag wounds.
Yes.
Of German, they say wounds, wunden.
Yes.
Sores. I don't know. When you ask me sores, I think sores only if you have a little bit the skin like open or what.
So these were large.
Yeah.
Large
wounds.
Yes.
I don't know why.
They opened
my feet
up again.
Were swelling up, and the wounds opened up.
Now, this was how many years after the war that this happened?
47, when I came to the United States in August.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 months later, I had to, suddenly my feet broke open. And I went to the Sinai Hospital in Nevada, 5th Street, 5th and Reed, ne? And they treated us.
Were there any other repercussions of?
No, no, not at all. Except my hearing. My hearing got worse and worse after the years.
You
because
feel that
from those, Schläge über the head.
When they hit the you on, when they hit you on your head,
on
you
my
feel
head,
your
yeah.
hearing was
yeah.
was affected
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
Were you aware of your hearing loss at the time in the camps?
Not so much. Not so much. You can't think in the camp. You don't think anymore. You are like a piece of meat. You eat a little bit water soup and the nose rinse in the soup and you eat it. You had no handkerchief in your pocket. You had nothing. You go on the toilet, you have to clean yourself with the hand, with water. There's no paper, toilet paper in those toilets.
Is there anything else that you want to add to what you've told us?
I say only one thing. If I lived through 6 years alone concentration camp, from 39 bis 45, was there an angel watching over me? Why me? Why he let me live so long?
Why do you think? What do you think kept you alive during those years?
I don't know till today. I don't know. Was there an angel watching me? But who was the angel for the 6 million other Jews? So I don't know till today. But God belonged me, gave me, like, for all my suffering, he gave me a wonderful wife. But make a human being back out of me. She feeds me. She, first time I couldn't eat with the she take a bite and put it to me in my mouth because I couldn't eat without the teeth. She made a human being back out of me. And I say today, if God let me live, it must have a reason. So I try to do good things to other people. I help out and I go to old age homes when I have time. I have plenty of time now, I'm retired. And to help people, they feed people. I shave those inmates down, those old age homes. I do what I can to help people. It's my second life I live now. So it must have a purpose that God had let me live. That's what I say.
I'm very glad I could talk to you.
Yeah?
Thank you so much.
Okay.